Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You asked for it. Here it is. It's a podcast from Apathetic Enthusiasm.
In this episode, we talk about all kinds of things, usually when our music's working. This is Apathetic Enthusiasm. Welcome to the podcast, everybody. My name is Travis.
Hey, welcome to the podcast, everybody. My name is Travis as well.
It's the Two Travises podcast. Welcome.
Yeah, this is a recurring segment where Travis and I, we say our names, but then we next week it'll be like Brandon and Brandon, right? Because it's just cute when we do that.
It's just fun. We like to have fun here. Special shout out to our good friend, a dedicated listener, the person that you hear at the beginning of every Apathetic Enthusiasm podcast, big old Matt Sizemore hanging out in the chat.
I thought you were going to say big old hog, Matt Sizemore. So let's go ahead and get started with our housekeeping. First and foremost, Twitch chat, you can listen to this show anytime we're recording on Monday night if we're not doing a Rick and Morty podcast over at twitch.tv/apatheticenthusiasm, where you can chat with us live, and you will you can try to break us just like Dolph Lundgren tried to break Rocky. And then he didn't. In fact, Rocky won that one. When he went to the Soviet Union, broke up the Soviet Union. Doesn't matter. You can get into details there. But anyways,
with his fist.
So you can do that. Have a good day, face. Matt is in the chat right now trying to break us, talking about big old hogs. Hogville,
that's right.
USA.
That's right. But if you can't make it on Monday nights, that's okay. We understand. You can still follow us all over the social interwebs, mm-hmm. over on Twitter at Apathusiast. On Instagram, apathetic_enthusiasm. We have a website, apatheticenthusiasm.com. We're on Facebook, facebook.com/apatheticenthusiasmshow. And of course, you can email us, apatheticenthusiasmshow@gmail.com. If you miss, you still want to see video, go to youtube.com/apatheticenthusiasm. You can subscribe over there, get some YouTube shorts. If it's hot out and you don't want to wear long pants, you can wear some YouTube shorts. And then you go to Patreon, patreon.com/apatheticenthusiasm. We also have merch, which I think for the next like 2 hours tops is on sale at TeePublic. If you go to apatheticenthusiasm.com/shop, I had people, the reason I plug this, and we usually don't plug this because we make no money from TeePublic.
For every shirt we sell from TeePublic, we get like a dollar.
Yeah. Yeah,
maybe.
But I had somebody at work that was like, do you have shirts for your podcast? I was like, yeah, I mean, I guess I do. And then I pulled it up and I pulled the website. I was like, I forgot we had these shirts. Like we got an Apathetic Enthusiasm shirt. You can also buy almost any other kind of merch there. So if you want a coffee mug, an Apathetic Enthusiasm coffee mug, or I don't know, probably like a visor. Maybe you could get like a beach chair. I don't think these are real products, but you can get them all over on TeePublic. They're on sale for like 4 more minutes, I think. So if you're listening live, you can go get them on sale. But anyway, yeah, there's merch out there if you need it. Anyway, how you doing, Brandon? How are your legs?
My legs are doing pretty good, Travis. Thank you for asking. Travis asked that because this is the last time we'll talk about running for a while.
Again. No, we're going to talk about it the entire episode.
The entire episode.
I put all those other topics in the show notes as a misdirection.
That's not true. We are not talking about running the entire time. We are going to start the episode with our rapport setting, our warm up where we just
two friends hanging out, having a chat.
Shoot the shit. That's what the shoot the shit minute with Brandon and Trav. So I ran my first half marathon ever this last weekend, and it was a little different it was a little different because like 2 weekends ago, I ran 12 miles and I was like, well, it's 12 miles. 13 miles is right around the corner. But the 12 mile run, I'd stopped by like mile, like 8.5. And I was like, I had to walk and run a little bit, walk and run a little bit. And so the half marathon, I ran the entire thing very, very slow, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if I'm the fastest or the slowest, it's still me running against myself. Anyways, so
everyone has a purpose, Brandon.
There was about like 70 people ahead of me, and then 8 people behind me. It doesn't matter. The fact is I finished it. And so so I felt decent for the most part. And then the rest of the day was my knees, like the outside of my knees, just like, ow, 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 I can't walk. I felt like Forrest Gump, like with the leg braces. That's how I was walking the entire time. And overall, I felt pretty miserable. I thought to myself after like all day yesterday, if this is the way it's going to be after long ass runs like that, like, I hate this. I absolutely hate this feeling right now because I felt like shit. And so I'm like, if I'm going to keep doing this, I have to find out what I need to do to feel less like that. Otherwise, I'll just dread that moment every single time.
I will tell you that that is not always the way you will feel after a run like that. Yeah. But that training takes time, and it takes time for your fitness level and your body to get used to that, right? So, I mean, that's how I felt for the most part after the marathon. But doing more distance and doing longer distances more consistently, I feel like your recovery is going to get faster and you're not going to feel as impacted on some of those long runs. But yeah, I mean, your first half marathon that you were working up to, like, yeah, I felt the same way after my first half marathon. It was yeah.
And to be fair, as you said, the more training you do, the more you get used to it. Yeah, I mean, the training I did was probably not ideal. I was not, my training plan for the marathon was not ideal because I wouldn't run until the weekends. And so maybe like 2 days every week. And then I sped up the mileage really, really quickly in across like 5-6 weeks where I was like, all right, I go from like 1 mile, 2 miles. Okay, I'm going to run 6 miles this week. And then I didn't go from like 6 to 7. I jumped from like 6 to, all right, well, I'm going to do 10. And then I jumped from 10 to the 12. And then I jumped from the last jump wasn't that bad, actually, but
yeah.
But anyway, so I did anyway, it.
Proud
I did
of you. It. Congrats. Thanks. It's awesome. And yeah, can't wait to run with you next month.
Yeah. In between recovery periods, recovery runs, they are going to be recovery runs because we're going to go to Comic-Con next month in July.
Yeah, we're less than a month away now.
That's right. Yeah. We are press bound. We're getting emails talking about requesting if we want to talk to stars, comic writers, all that type of good stuff. And so we're pretty excited about that. And I say recovery runs because like 5 days of being around a lot of different people, having to perform a little bit probably was we're like, yeah. If we're going to be interviewing people and also just like it this seems kind of weird. Maybe it doesn't seem that kind of weird, but like even doing. So Sunday morning, I'm getting ready for the half marathon. And I'm just like, I want to take a picture of the giant frog that says Arroyo Creek half marathon. But I'm so self-conscious about taking a picture of the frog around everybody. There's not that many people there.
Is this like a dude in a frog costume or is it like a sculpture of a frog?
No, it's a background of the Arroyo Creek half marathon mascot. It's just a big banner. Okay. Like me in front of it to take a selfie.
Super, a selfie in front of it.
Okay. Super self-conscious about it, right? Okay, now let's magnify that so much for Comic-Con next month. So we're going to have to do some recovery runs. But this kind of segues into what we wanted to talk about first, which is Comic-Con. And not necessarily Comic-Con itself, but some news surrounding Comic-Con involving WGA strikes. Doesn't seem like the SAG is going to strike if the nanny has anything to say about it. But we want to talk about that because a lot of the studios that would have gone to Comic-Con normally, there's a lot of them that aren't showing up, Travis.
Yeah, we haven't been quiet about the fact that we're excited to be going to Comic-Con. Talking to people I know, I think I had this Variety article sent to me 3 or 4 times over the course of the weekend. And really this article, it's out on Variety. It's from Adam Berry. It says Comic-Con crisis, Marvel, Netflix, Sony, HBO, and Universal to skip San Diego Comic-Con as Fest faces another existential threat, right? And so really what they're talking about is those really big, like Hall H panels. These have kind of been the big ticket, the big news breaking items that San Diego Comic-Con specifically has been known for, where you get, you know, big reveals about the next Marvel film or all of Phase 29 of the cinematic universe and things like that. Or Netflix will come out and have a lot of big name actors who are sharing trailers or things from their upcoming films or new series. And it's kind of the same for all of these studios, right? And because of this writer strike, which is now about to enter its third month and will be well within its third month by the time Comic-Con starts, those production schedules, those plans for some of these big movies and shows are starting to be delayed. Some of them have been canceled already. And so there's a lot of uncertainty that's going on, a lot of, frankly, just like between the infighting between the people that make this content and the studios that make all the money. There's unsure what's going to come of this, and stack on top of that, now we might have an actor strike here in the next week or so that could just compound issues. So I don't know, what are your thoughts on sort of the landscape right now with everything that's going on?
Well, I think the first thing that comes to mind is when you talk to some of the older folks, you know, our elders in the nerd community, the geek community, the pop culture community, they think of San Diego Comic-Con, they think of comic conventions as places for comics. And now with word that a lot of studios aren't going to show up, that's what a lot of people are like, oh, okay, well, going back to its roots, I guess they're going to actually do comics. It's going to be about comics
again. The Comic-Con, weird.
Yeah. Very, very strange. You know, I think that will be an interesting angle for us to cover, because, you know, you and I used to collect comics a lot, and we'd collect a variety of comics like the one you have there, Old Man Logan. I still got my Meeseeks, Rick and Morty Presents Mr. Meeseeks.
That just happened to be the comic that was within arm's reach.
I've got a Beavis and Butthead comic from when I was a teenager somewhere around here. But you used to collect comics, and then we kind of got out of the habit in like Amazing Hawaii Comic Con, Honolulu Comic Con. We talked to comic artists, and you know there were some maybe like TV shows kind of people there, maybe like some premieres, but by and large, it was about the comics. And I think it'll be good, and maybe like rekindle a little bit of my interest in going back to comics and reading more comics, when like to talk to the folks who are writing those and drawing them, the artistry for it. That'll be interesting.
Yeah.
Side note on talking to the artists, and maybe I should hold this, but since I already brought it up, I'll bring it up now. There was some fervor on Twitter about the WGA, DGA, SAG. There was also talk about the conditions that artists go through, artists and writers in the comic book world.
Yeah.
And so I wonder if that is something that's going to come up during Comic-Con, especially if it's a if Comic-Con is focused on comics. That might be more prominent.
Oh, there's that story that just came out recently riding a wave in the huge success of Across the Spider-Verse and going into a third, you know, Miles Morales focused Spider-Verse film. The recent article came out saying that was it like hundreds or something of animators that quit or left the studio because of poor work conditions working on that film. That's devastating to hear. Like, because love Spider-Man, love the movie and the story, but the animation in that movie is something that really stood out to me, really, for me, makes that movie just over the top awesome. And so to hear that they weren't treated well or that it was poor working conditions, it's really disappointing. And hopefully studios can do better and teams can do better to support the artists that are really pouring their hearts and souls into making something that's awesome for fans to experience. So,
yeah. The other thing about Comic-Con, the Comic-Con experience, is like being able to see a bunch of celebrities walking around, like being like, sure, oh,
to a degree. Yeah.
Oh, that she in some like the lesser known celebrities, like, oh, hey, that's the lady who does the voice of Bobby on King of the Hill. Right.
Yeah.
Small thing. Hey, it's Tamara from Boy Meets World. Right. Is that the
Topanga?
Right? Topanga. Oh, I'm thinking of whatever. See, I didn't watch Boy Meets World, so.
Man.
It was before my time.
I did.
After my time? After my time.
No, after.
Definitely.
During. It was during your time.
No, I was already too old for that. No, I was watching adult things like
adult films.
Animated.
You were watching adult films. Yeah, and here's the thing about San Diego Comic-Con that, and there's a distinction that I'm curious about, and we'll be able to see this when we get out there. These studios have canceled their big panels, their Hall H style panels. They have not said, to my knowledge, that they are pulling out of Comic-Con completely. And the thing with Comic-Con is, yes, there are the big panels, there are the big scheduled events where people are going to get news, things like that. But then you have the actual convention floor, which 20 years ago, the last time I went to San Diego Comic-Con, was a lot of artist alley, like things like that. But you had some bigger companies, bigger studios really starting to dip their toes in. This is like we're talking like Lord of the Rings movies time frame, where they're like just starting to bring movies and big box office stuff to the event. And now, 2 decades later, San Diego Comic-Con is this giant melting pot of all things nerd culture and pop culture. So yes, comics, I hope, do move forward and are still prominently featured in the event, but you're still probably going to have a lot of studios or other companies with some sort of presence on the convention floor. You're still going to have like the big merchandisers, the Funkos, probably some video game representation out there. Still going to be a lot of that stuff, board games, all kinds of stuff, not to mention all the cosplay, everything else that people, you know, are accustomed to relating to Comic-Con. So there's going to be a lot still going on, with probably the addition of a lot of people outside the convention center with signs that are probably going to be still protesting, assuming that the strikes are still happening, and using an event of this scale as a platform to get their message out there and talk about the conditions that they're actively striking against.
Yeah, in there's a lot of controversy in the entertainment world right now. Beyond the strikes, talking about the animation, with Beyond the Spider or Into the Spider-Verse, Across the Spider-Verse, and then also you talk about the strikes, but there's a controversy about all these like Netflix, Disney, Max, pulling content that have been on there for one season, and they're like, okay, bye, we're taking it off, and there's no physical media. I think she does the voice of Mabel on Gravity Falls, Kristen Schaal. I saw a tweet. Somebody posted a tweet from her where she was asking if she can get a copy of, like, how could she download or record something on DVR that she was in because they were taking it off of streaming and she doesn't have a copy of it, right? And, like, she's an actress in that show and she doesn't have a hard copy of it. Like, that's a lot of work that people put into these shows, not just the stars, but the sound, the sets, the casting, all that stuff. And so there's that controversy. And there's also Zaslav or whatever his name is, who's like the head of Warner Brothers. And like he is like selling, he's like gutting TCM to the point that like Spielberg, Scorsese, and somebody else like got on a call directly with them to like talk about TCM, Turner Classic Movies. And like he's gutting it and he's like selling now like the rights to like some like to assets and stuff like that in perpetuity, like the Sony. Anyways, there's a lot of shit going on. And so it's going to be interesting, like how all that will it be represented at Comic-Con, or will it be like, no, we're hiding that. We're going to pretend like that.
Yeah, just like wool over the eyes, just like, oh, no, everything's fine with this. Pay no attention to what's going on at all of those streaming services that are bleeding revenue. Mm-hmm. It's really interesting to me. You talk about the streaming wars. You talk about the last 10 years of content. And you used to just have like Netflix. Netflix was like the only game in town. And the ability to stream content was so novel and new. And they were the only game in town. So everybody was getting a Netflix account and they just blew up. They had so much money that they could do a lot. They could produce a lot of content, things like that. And that kind of made everybody think like, oh, Netflix streaming is the new game. You're not gonna have to produce physical media. You're not gonna have to like worry about distributing all that stuff. Streaming will be the way to go. And for a long time, I think it was really beneficial because all of these networks and all these services were growing, right? And so Disney Plus, lots of growth over the first year or two, right? Like Netflix is growing, Hulu adding subscribers, and they're adding content. And there are these silos where people have to go to that provider for the content. But I think we hit, and maybe when COVID hit and everybody's in their homes and they can't go anywhere, they're like, just get all the streaming services. This is going to be fine, right? And so we entered a point where now, like, a lot of people are familiar with streaming. A lot of people have multiple services that they're paying for, to the point where we're basically shelling out as much as we would for a cable subscription way back when. And there's only so much time to watch things. So I think now what we're seeing with it is an issue where people are like having to pick and choose and be like, well, I have Netflix, I have Hulu, I have Disney Plus, I have Max, Peacock, Paramount. Like, I have all these things. They all have stuff that I like, but I can let go of Paramount until the next season of Yellowstone, and I don't need to pick up Peacock until, Game of Thrones is off. That's the only reason I had Max. Let me cancel that one. And yeah, I'll re-up Netflix when Stranger Things comes back. But otherwise, I'm good. So now a lot of these streaming services are like losing revenue because people are learning the systems, playing the games. And it's back and forth too, right? Where they don't roll out the whole season in one day, but they're like, oh, we're doing it on a weekly basis so we can get you for 3 months instead of, 3 days. And I don't know. I just think it'll be interesting if we're going to see some sort of shift or change in whether it's pricing models, what kind of content's available, or is there some other option that's out there that we just don't even know about yet? Where are they just going to start selling movies again in digital versions? And, oh, you want to see the two latest Scream movies. Okay, yeah, you can rent them for $3.99 on Amazon Prime, or you can purchase them for, you know, X number of dollars, but it's not going to be available on streaming.
Yeah.
You watch it one time or something. So, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, we talked a long time ago when we first started this podcast, we talked about streaming services and we talked about this cutting the cord, right? Cord cutting. And it was this idea like, oh, this is cool. Like, I don't have to pay for cable now because this is $5 or $10 or whatever. And I can watch a lot of stuff that I've wanted to watch and I could watch on repeat, right? And that was 2015, 2016, Sling TV. We talked about that. And now we're to the point where you already named them all, but like where I'm like, when the Twilight Zone reboot came out, it was only on CBS, whatever their streaming app was, which is now Paramount Plus, where I was like, I'm not paying money. As much as I love the Twilight Zone, I'm not going to pay extra money to watch the series. I'm not going to do it because I already paid too much. I'm shelling out too much already for all these streaming services. That's the common refrain. That's the common complaint now is like this was a promise for us to get away from the thing that you're making us do essentially again, which is cut the cord. So probably what will happen is there'll be some kind of service that comes out that gives a flat rate model for these streaming services. And then it's like, oh, we're direct stream TV.
Yeah.
We'll also throw in a Sunday
spend
ticket.
Spend $100 a month and you can stream these 65 channels. But if you add this bonus package, we'll add 10 more channels, including Turner Classic Movies. And then we have a sports package where you'll get sports streams. And then plus we have a premier movie streaming packet. And you're like, wait, did I just reinvent cable? What just happened?
We have the premier TV pack, which includes Paramount Plus and Max. But if you want Peacock, well, we can add that on, including Sunday Ticket and whatever. Yeah. Right. And you're like, okay, well, what's old is new again, just in it with new technology. Anyways, go ahead.
No,
go
I was
ahead.
Just gonna say, I think there's an
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
I'll use Disney Plus as the example because I'm a huge Disney nerd and have been for a really long time. I used to, when Disney Plus was first announced, Disney is one of the largest, if not the largest, entertainment company in the world, right? So the promise of them having a streaming service where they're like, we're bringing you Disney content, we're bringing you Star Wars content, Marvel, plus National Geographic, like all of this stuff, it was like, wow, there is such a wealth of content for them to draw from. I'll never run out of something to watch on this. And the thing that I nerded out about was like, oh man, I used to stay up late at night in like the late 90s, early 2000s. And I would watch on the Disney Channel a segment called Vault Disney. And Vault Disney was like their Adult Swim, but for Disney nerds, where instead of showing, you know, Family Guy and, you know, whatever else was on Adult Swim back then. Yeah, Aqua Teens. They would show like the old Mickey Mouse Club. They would show the Walt Disney hosted like Disneyland series when he was like trying to promote his new park that he was building. But it was all this old stuff. Mickey Mouse Club, Spin and Marty, Zorro, like all this old 1950s, 60s Disney television. And I used to love that stuff. I ate it up. and they're like, okay, streaming service. We're going to put, I'm like, yeah, throw all of that old stuff on there. And the old nerds like me and my parents and their parents, right? Like that stuff that could appeal to them because that's from their like childhood and stuff. And what is that? What does that cost you licensing wise? Or like, I can't imagine that that content costs them a lot to put on the service. And it's never been on there. Like most of that stuff has never been there. There's a handful of like particular documentaries or episodes of those shows that have been put out. But to me, I'm like, is that, they're throttling the services a little bit to like only push out, let me put out the best stuff. And then we're going to take stuff away to, I don't know, kind of create some sort of scarcity mindset or something behind it. But
it's all part of the algorithm, Travis.
It's all part of the algorithm. Got to get on board.
The fact is that it costs $5 for them to turn that old film into a digital copy of it. And then they have to format it to present a title, like a title credits, right? And then they
I don't believe any of this.
They got,
not even for a second.
There's production costs to put that in a usable format. But then, you know, like then putting it onto the service is a thing. You got to do that. Plus you got storage, right? And like, there's not unlimited storage. So you have to pay for hosting fees, right? And then how many people are actually going to watch it? So the production costs, and then the one person who's interested in watching that.
There's at least five of us. Guarantee you there's at least five of us that would watch that.
The five people who want to watch it, is that enough to recoup those costs?
I don't think so.
I don't think it is enough to honestly recoup those costs, but that's not the point of it. The point is that's the type of stuff that should be on there, because where else are you going to find it? Open up the Disney vaults and release that footage, release those shows, release all that content in a historical way. And I think of like Nick at Night, and I think of like even like K-Earth 101 out here in L.A., where K-Earth 101 is like a classic. We used to be a classic music station. And I say classic, but like 50s, 60s. So you'd hear the Temptations, and you'd hear Tina Turner. You'd hear raindrop be falling on my head. You know, you'd hear, I mean, that's probably a little bit newer than is there, but you'd hear a lot of that old stuff. And now you turn to K-Earth 101 and they're playing 80s music. Which, you know, I get, you know, time passes on, but now all of that old 50s, 60s music is all being lost. It's being lost to a generation that's like they're not hearing that anymore. And there's other stations that will play 70s and 80s music. Those stations are still there. The classic rock stations are now playing Nirvana, right? So the point of that being all of that stuff is being lost. Like the heritage there is being lost. Like, I don't know which station you listen to Elvis, right? Like that.
Just stream it on Spotify.
I don't think my kid knows who, well, he does know who Elvis is. But barely, right? You're like, what song is Elvis singing? He'd be like, Bodies Hit the Floor. You know, he wouldn't know.
Yeah, you got it. Anyway, yeah, it's weird. Entertainment is in like a weird space right now. I'm still confident that Comic-Con is going to be a lot of fun. We're going to be able to talk to and see a lot of cool things, talk to cool people. And the reality is there are amazing artists who fill up Artist Alley every year that are doing really cool stuff, and we would love to feature them, you know, on YouTube or interview them for podcasts, things like that. So definitely look for that. In the meantime, you can fire up your favorite streaming service. If you still have a Disney Plus subscription, you can maybe check out the new Marvel series Secret Invasion. Brandon, did you end up watching the episode?
By the way, everybody, that was a segue. I feel like I need to point that out because it was such a subtle segue that I'm like, I think he's segueing, or is this the end of the show? Is this, wait, yeah, we're going to talk about briefly the new show on Disney Plus. Now we're segueing into a Secret Invasion. No, Travis, I have not watched that episode.
I feel like like there's people in the world that when they see something beautiful, they have to spit on it, right? I'm not saying that segue was beautiful, but I mean, you don't have to call it out every time I shift topics.
No. I'm not calling it out that you're shifting topics, just this particular time and a couple times before, but this one specifically.
A couple times. Yeah. Okay. A couple episodes.
No,
in
well,
our 10-year history.
I was just calling it out because I honestly didn't realize that you were segueing until you asked me. So Brandon, did you, and I'm like, Okay. I see what's happening here.
You know, it's okay for this conversation to just progress naturally and not have to feel like, and now in our next segment, when we come back, we'll be talking about after these messages.
No, really, really what I'm doing.
Cue automated commercials.
Actually, what I'm doing this for, Travis, is for our video content. If we have good, you know, back and forth like this, it's gonna be good for the videos, right?
Yeah.
Video.ai, where we do, it's not a sponsor, but they do support us, not monetarily, but through their service that we have pay for. Okay. I'm jumping the gun there. I'm gonna get back into the video.ai piece a little bit.
But I was going to provide this as an opportunity for you to talk about AI a little bit in this segment, in this segment that we just shifted into. If you survive that segue, we're talking a little bit about Secret Invasion, new series, Disney Plus, Marvel. It's one episode is out. Episodes come out every Wednesday. If you have never read a comic book, are not familiar with the Secret Invasion premise, basically, this show deals with the Skrulls, which we were introduced to in the MCU during the Captain Marvel film, if I remember correctly. Mm-hmm. And this is a species of aliens that are able to shapeshift. They can appear like humans. And this progresses that storyline. If you haven't seen Captain Marvel, a group of Skrulls have to remain on Earth. And that also starts Nick Fury's journeys out into space, and Nick Fury's gone for a long time in space after the events of Endgame. So, all right, fast forward. Now Skrulls are on Earth and they are hiding amongst us. And it is believed that they may be performing some sort of terrorist plots to try and pit countries against each other and take over our planet. So Nick Fury has to come back from space and find them all by himself. That's the premise. Brandon didn't watch it, so I can't ask him any questions about what he thinks about it.
I told you I didn't watch it.
Why didn't you watch it? I guess that's the bigger question, because you sent me like cryptic guerrilla footage, like websites where you had to put in a code to see a trailer for this. You sent me that stuff, and then you're like, "Oh, the actual episode? Nah, I'm good."
Well, I tell you why I didn't watch it. I didn't even
cancel Disney Plus. You canceled the streaming service.
I sent you that footage, and I watched the trailer, and I thought. Doesn't seem that interesting to me, actually. But then I was like, oh, okay, it started. I keep seeing it on Disney Plus. And like, okay, I'll watch the episode. And then I saw some people's reviews of it, and a lot of people were like, it was okay. It'll probably get better. And I thought to myself, well, then I'll watch it then.
I'll watch it once I know it's better. Yeah. Okay, that's fair.
So that's where I am with it. Like I know the first episode.
Outside of me, who did you get those reviews from?
I went to the grocery store. I was saying, hey, where's the bread? And they're like, oh, it's in aisle 10. I'm like, have you watched Secret Invasion? Like, no, but I heard that it's not super great the first episode. It's just leading into it. Like, oh, cool. Do you have any Weber's? Like, oh, yeah, we got Weber's bread. Like, oh, okay, cool. I really like the potato bread. Like, oh, potato bread's so good. It's expensive, but it's pretty solid. I know, it's my favorite. That's one person.
Fair enough. I can't argue with that. Potato bread is delicious. So, yeah, I do think it's a slow burn. I also thought WandaVision was kind of a weird slow burn at the very beginning. And I thought WandaVision was amazing. I did not think that Falcon and the Winter Soldier was as good, but it was a little bit slower pace. This, I feel the same way about. There is some interesting things that happen. There's a pretty big moment that happens towards the end of the first episode. But yeah, I'm going to give it a few episodes before I determine whether or not I think it is
good
or
not. Yeah. I'm going to watch it. I'm interested. I'm hoping that it goes to that Captain America Winter Soldier type feel. Well, Winter Soldier, Winter Soldier, like with Robert Redford and all of that. Was that Winter Soldier? No, wait.
Robert Redford?
Yeah. The Captain America where is much more spy thriller than...
A little bit, yeah. Okay.
Robert Redford was like the head of S.H.I.E.L.D. And then it turns out he was a Hail Hydra. He was one of those guys.
Like you're talking about the films?
Yeah. It was a much more spy.
I thought you were talking about Captain America, Winter Soldier, Falcon and the Winter Soldier is what I thought you were talking about.
No.
I was like, Robert Redford definitely wasn't in that show. I don't remember him at all.
Okay. Yeah, the spy thriller Captain America. I'm hoping that this is akin to that with some Super Skrull action. I'm okay with seeing some of that. I will check it out.
We'll speak now to that bit of controversy that you're up to speed with more so than the show itself, and that is the opening title sequence of Secret Invasion, which is a very artsy, sort of distorted looking, sort of paintings of people, characters from the show, half Skrull, half other characters, very artsy. And it came out shortly after the show's release that title sequence was in fact produced using artificial intelligence technology. And there was a bit of a backlash on the internet, Brandon. What did you see on the webs in response?
What did I see? I saw people who were like, those who are already anti-AI doing a lot of AI art. And then the stuff with the strikes, like not wanting people to do their likenesses or their voice or take their art or even like things that they write with ChatGPT taking that as reference. Like there's a lot of that stuff going on right now. And so then to have a major show on a major streaming network and streaming platform normalize it and be like, hey, look. You know that thing all of you are afraid of in the entertainment business? Here it is. We just did it. Yeah. And so there's some talk where they're like, well, the whole idea about the Skrulls mimicking humans, pretending to be humans, maybe there's this kind of underlying theme of using the AI that's like, well, AI is to Skrull as traditional art is to human. I don't know. Like there's that kind of like forced kind of, maybe that's what they're talking about. But a lot of people then come back and say, but they're still normalizing the use of AI versus talented artists that can do that. I'm torn on the whole AI art thing in general, because Okay, here's an example, Travis. Ryan, our friend Ryan McGovern. He and I we're sharing music back and forth to each other, and he and I were talking about like writing lyrics and writing vocals to songs, and both of us kind of being like, that's the hard part, like that's the part that we like the least. And so what I kind of suggested was, when I was in Korea, there's an open mic night, and every week they had an open mic night, and they'd end it with like, here's a theme for next week's. And it would just be like a line, just be like, eighth wonder of the world. Like, write a song about the eighth wonder of the world, come back to the open mic night next week, and then do it. And then so people would take that prompt, and then they would create something of their own, unique. Every person's song was different. Some people would have eighth wonder of the world as a chorus. Some people would make a hard rock song, right? But it would all be different.
Yeah.
To me, Midjourney is giving a prompt. I say Midjourney just as the popular one. Giving a prompt, be like, eighth wonder of the world, and then having the computer do all of that artistic creativity and pump something out. It does give people who aren't creative, who aren't artists, a chance to just like basically on demand, on commission, give me something back that I can use. But it also takes away from the actual creativity and the soul that an artist will come back and use, right? A song that comes from somebody's heart versus, you know, the consolidation of hundreds of years of music.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know if, like, now that Pandora's box has been opened with AI, if it can ever really be closed again, and time will tell on this, but I think there's still definitely a gap between the talent and creativity of people in all aspects, whether that's writing, other forms of art, photography, all kinds of things, and what AI is generating. It's still in its infancy, but it is going to get better. Like, people are going to put a lot of money into making sure that it does get better. And I think it's important that we find some sort of balance to still promote and push artists who are bringing unique perspectives, unique interpretations, and different styles out into the world, and make sure that we value that appropriately, right? And that if you can throw a few pennies at an AI generator, you're going to get what you pay for versus a talented artist who can provide you something well beyond that. And so I think we need to value that effectively.
There, this is related. I hate to segue too far away from Secret Invasion, but the AI conversation about likenesses and using likenesses and creating entire shows using AI with the writing. The first episode of the new season of Black Mirror covers it pretty closely. So I highly recommend watching that episode. It starts fairly...
Wait, hold on. Brandon, is that a segue into talking about Black Mirror?
I said it was a segue already, okay. So you can't call me out.
Sorry,
for it.
I stopped listening to you a long time ago.
Yeah, no, it's fine. It's fine. We can go back to Secret Invasion here once I'm segueing.
No,
back.
I'm done. I'm done. No, I'm gonna watch.
I'm gonna segue back into Secret Invasion here in a second. But that episode is pretty good. Pretty good. Like, I imagine Secret Invasion will be by the end of the 6-episode run. What do you think the end of this season is going to be? You think you're going to see any other superheroes in Secret Invasion other than War Machine?
Because they'll all be on strike.
Well, the show's already produced. It's already done.
Yeah. No, they're going to strike retroactively.
Oh, hey, Champ Champ is in the chat. Here we go. Yeah. Here we go.
Here we go.
Oh my gosh.
All right, I guess it's time to wrap this sucker up. I'm interested on where Secret Invasion is going to go. Black Mirror's back. Yay, that's great. I don't watch that show enough. I feel like I should.
It's very cynical. However, this first episode, it started off fairly cynical, and then it was a pretty funny episode. I highly recommend it. It ends hopeful, which I don't know how the rest of the season will be, but this one ended pretty nicely.
I mean, cynicism, it makes sense when the show is all about like the dangers of technology and our obsessions and addictions with it and stuff like that. So yeah, I guess there's some cynical goes with the territory.
Generally.
You know what's not cynical? You know what's not cynical? And I'm going to bookend this whole podcast because we started out talking about running and we said we weren't going to talk about running anymore, but I listened to a couple episodes of a relatively new podcast on my commute home today. Uh-huh. And I want to give a shout out to someone that needs no help from us because they have the highest rated running podcast now. And that is, of course, Coach Bennett, global Nike head coach. He has the Coach Bennett podcast now. Episodes are about 30 to 40 minutes. If you're a fan of running or just positivity, I highly recommend checking these out. I've been listening to his Guided Runs for a long time, but the podcast kind of have the same vibe as his Guided Runs, but he goes into depth a little bit more about some things. He'll talk about different aspects. It's not just about running, but he'll give some running tips at the end and things like that. But congratulations to him on starting a podcast. He has an episode about starting lines and how sometimes getting to the starting line or just starting something is a victory in and of itself and is to be celebrated. So yeah, it's really cool. You should listen to it, Brandon. This is just me telling Brandon he should listen to a podcast, even though he doesn't listen to podcasts.
I don't.
But yeah, if you hate running and you're into negativity, listen to Rounding the Bases, an apathetic enthusiasm podcast.
Which we haven't done in a while. Oh my gosh. If Matt gets a new job someday, then looks like we're starting Rounding the Bases again.
Rounding the Bases t-shirt still available on TeePublic. Go to apatheticenthusiasm.com/shop, where for the next 30 seconds, you can still get those shirts on sale.
That's right. That's right. Let's see. What else I got? I think that's all. I think that's all I've got, Travis. Do you have anything else you want to talk about?
Nope. That's about it. That's it. Thanks to everybody for listening. If you're a Rick and Morty fan and you're not subscribed to Interdimensional RSS, but for some reason you have stumbled upon this episode, we did recently release a new episode of Interdimensional RSS where we check in on things going on with Rick and Morty and talk a little bit about 10 years of Rick and Morty now that it's been out for close to a decade. So if you missed that episode, you can check that out wherever we release our podcast.
Wherever we release our podcast. And shout out to all of the folks who are in the chat, the three
both of you.
The three of you. I counted myself in that. Our Patreon, of course. Thank you all for your support out there. Thank you for ignoring the videos I post. I'm sorry. You know, I got to give some content, and if you like it, that's great. And if you, that's cool. Rounding the Bases. It's on Random. I've actually, you know, it's strange, Travis. I've actually kept up on that pretty well. And you know, like oh, look at me. Like I'm on part of doing like a routine where I'm like, okay, do some it's on Random real quick, and then do something I recorded. So if this, here's a side note, if you see videos of me playing in the same exact shirt, it's because I recorded all of those on the same day. The guitar. It's not because I only wear that shirt.
Yeah.
It's not.
It's just efficiency.
I do have the Steely Dan shirt on underneath this, but that's not the point. It's not the point. All right. Thank you to all of you for listening.
Thank you.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
My voice is completely given up on me. Thank you, everybody, for listening. We are going to go spend some time with a handful of Twitch viewers now in the Twitch post show. If you want to be a part of that, join us Monday nights 9 p.m. Eastern. Until then, no podcast next week. Holiday weekend, 4th of July. But we should be back the following week with a brand new podcast. Until then, I'm Travis.
And I'm Brandon. Thank you all for listening to our show today.
Bye.
Or tomorrow. Maybe you broke it up into pieces.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.